Okay, here we are. Here we are. This is the Real Deal Media Podcast channel. And this is a show called Late Night Thoughts. And if you guessed it, yes, it's late night. And I'm Dean Ryan, and these are my thoughts. But joining me on this thoughtful quest is a friend of the show, friend of mine, friend of the network, and a friend of the world. She doesn't really discriminate on who she's friends with based on regions or mileage. That's Tammy Clark. Hi, Tammy.
Hey there. It's great to be with you. Or Tamagotchi, as some of Tamagotchi. You know.
Well, Tamagotchi's her stage name. She's big in Japan, really. Don't ask me why. Is your
it's a great first Friday time night. Here. I have not joined the Late Night Thoughts podcast before, but it's great to be with you.
Is it because you don't like to do all your thoughts at night? You're more of a morning thoughts?
No.
Early morning thoughts?
Here's the weird thing. Many, many years as a businesswoman, I was a very early bird with my coffee, watching the sun come up and, you know, getting to it. But over the last few years, I have become a late night owl.
And interesting.
And you and I have messaged each other at midnight. I mean, I'm up, I'm up late hours now working not so many early hours. It's just my circadian rhythms have completely changed over the last couple of years.
Wow.
So
we'll have to get into the circadian rhythms, which sounds like, is that your new album you're promoting? Circadian Rhythms of the Night by Tammy.
This is what freedom fighting has done to me. It's made me a late night owl. Because, you know, at the end of the day, that's when things kind of start downloading and I have to kind of catch up and prepare for the next day. So I'm not so early morning anymore.
Yeah. Mornings suck. But tonight we're going to explore the criminalities of early mornings to the freedoms of the night owls and almost the isolation of sorts until other people find out, oh, you're just like me. And I think that's that's kind of what makes that Real Deal Media very special, is we're all a bunch of insomniacs that watch each other at night.
Yeah. And I have become one of those. And weirdly, like, you know, 3-4 years ago, I was going to bed very early and I was getting up very early, and I was one of those very judgmental morning people. Like, what are you doing sleeping till 9 o'clock in the morning? Now I work till 2-3 o'clock in the morning sometimes. So I don't get up till 9 many mornings. And it's totally different. So, you know, judge not lest you be judged. Right. So.
Exactly. Judge lest not you be judged. Anyways. As you can see, people who are listening to this can't see. That's kind of just...
They can't see. They can hear.
Yeah, insensitive. currently, you're in Florida.
Yes.
And you have crossed paths near the Orlando area, which I thought was interesting, because last time I was in Florida, that's literally where I was. Not too far from the Epcot Center. Yeah, it's very swampy, is what I remember.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hated it, actually. when I remember.
What were you doing in Orlando? So you don't have little children. You're not going to Disney World. So what were you doing in Orlando?
Well, Tammy, first of all, that's a personal question, which I'm willing to answer.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. I got a few of my own coming your way. Anyways, when I was doing it, without opening the Pandora's box, as they say in the business, or the road to nowhere, I was shooting a a TV pilot for a new show.
Really?
And yeah. 2017. Wow. It's 18, I believe, around that time, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was.
Okay. So, yeah. So I've been all over the state from Naples to Orlando to Tampa. I was in Tampa today. And I'm very seriously considering moving down here. So I'm working some networks down here, business networks, political networks, and having a little fun. I like to call these getaways my workcations because I can't really take a vacation with the line of work that I'm in. So it's a little bit of work, a little bit of fun, but, you know, Florida is the land of the free these days, and I do love it.
In case you're wondering what kind of work that Tammy and myself are in, we're actually escorts, and that's how we met.
Yeah.
In Florida. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Sure we did.
No, it's true. We actually
Dean on his movie shoot.
Well, let's you know, we can tell them the truth, but it was a funny situation. We had the same John once, and it was so funny. Like, that's how we met each other. And
it was a nightmare. It was a horror story. We can never relive those days.
I know. We hated each other at first, but then we learned to live with it, you know, like everything else. Is learn
don't
to live
disclose
with it.
Everything. Some things should be left just between us.
I know. There's just not much left between us. It's all out there. That's the problem.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like when I go grocery shopping, I get all these snacks. And, you know, you think, you know, on paper, they're supposed to last for like 2-3 weeks. Well, they're gone within 2 days. It's a problem.
Exactly.
I hate that. Do you have this problem too? Or is it just me?
I do. And then what makes it worse is that I have no time to work out. So then I even feel worse about myself. Yeah. Yes.
Why for is sure. this? Why do we do this? And I wonder if it's a phenomenon across the country or the world at this point.
No, it's very normal. I guarantee you, if you and I are feeling this, so is everybody else. So we're just making people feel really good about themselves tonight. It's kind of like watching the show The Middle. Any mom, any woman out there that has watched the show The Middle feels like a great mom after watching that show. So we're just making people feel really good about themselves that, you know, you buy the snacks, you eat the snacks that were supposed to last a week, in 1 or 2 days, and you don't work out, but it's okay.
I'm going to guess your snacks. I bet I know. I bet I know what snacks you get. I have an idea.
Okay, go ahead. You know me pretty well, so go ahead.
And let's not try to deny some of the things I'm about to say, too, because,
you know, okay.
I've had enough of the denials. Okay, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's a whole nother topic. It's a whole nother topic. Yeah. Yeah. I just dropped the gauntlet of top. Anyways, I'm going to guess. I'm going to presume that you get a combination of the salties and the sweets. Right?
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Like the pack of like trail mix with the almonds with the
Tammy
dark chocolate.
I was just about to say that.
Sure.
See?
You were.
I swear to you, I swear I was.
Okay, so let me throw you one. Let's talk bagels. Because you and I are on the same page with bagels.
Yeah. We are. Trail mix. Don't act like you don't eat Oreos. I know you do.
Yeah, I do. I love the fudge dipped Oreos at Christmas time. Oh yeah.
What do you say? What about the golden Oreos? I think are so good.
Oh no! Ew! No! Ew! No! That's not an Oreo. There's no such thing as a golden Oreo. That's not an Oreo.
Whatever.
And
Oreo
shame me. You, our listeners, agree with me. That is not an Oreo. That's a Keebler weird elf some sort of concoction.
Oh stop it. Guarantee that. That's a weak guarantee. If that's your guarantee, that's a weak guarantee.
I'm discriminating right now against the Keebler elves, but that's just some sort of Keebler concoction.
There's no warranty. I've never talked about Keebler so much in my life until tonight.
Yeah.
tell me your what were you going to tell me? Your pack of cable or something, pack of who, then the middle. I don't even know what the middle is other than it's between the top and the bottom. That's all.
So
I
we're going to smush the middle and Keebler and cookies and elves all together into one conversation. People, you need to watch the middle and you need to eat the double fudge dipped Oreo cookies and stay away from Keebler. That's the gist of this conversation.
By the way, these are all sexual innuendos in case anyone's listening.
No, they're not.
Just Tammy is a very perverted person in Florida.
No,
and that's what Florida does. That's what Florida does to people. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Apparently, if you go to the Villages, because I found some shocking information about the people that live in the Villages.
Tammy, I'm not even going to begin to tell you about the Florida experience and what that was.
I can only imagine.
It's beyond comprehension. Extremely embarrassing at some points and dangerous at many other points.
Well, at some time you will have to share with me because
on my deathbed.
Because I have learned some things being down here in Florida about these old people moving down here to Florida. Oh my God, that would make you and I blush.
Yeah, they're a bunch of horny toads.
Seriously.
They are.
And I thought I was just coming down here for a little vacation and some sunshine and vitamin D and boosting my immune system, trying to get away from the tyranny in Michigan. And
Little did I know
what I was getting myself into.
Bunch of old guys running after you.
And on their golf carts. Oh my gosh.
And their golf carts, their Tommy Bahama shirts. And their,
exactly.
You know? They're pre-made margarita mix.
Oh my word. I'm telling you what. I know what I'm in for in 20 years.
Yeah. You're a hot commodity right now in the Villages.
I'm not old enough to live in the Villages, but in 20 years when I want to retire, I'm telling you what, that's a party place I just might want to live.
Yeah, it's like living in a dorm from what I hear. Everyone's just humping around, ties on doorknobs, everything.
Yes, it's the number one. Okay, let me just, I'm going to disclose this, and our listeners might get really grossed out by this, but.
Or your co-host, too.
Or my co-host, exactly.
Yeah, don't leave me out.
I just learned this on this last trip down here. The Villages, very nearby where I'm staying. The number one place for STDs in the country. Hello, people. These are old people. That. Hello. Come on. Yeah. What's going on down here in Florida? The land of the free, the land of the brave, the land of the STDs. I don't know what more to say.
You know, not to discriminate, but I'm all about discrimination at the moment. I've never understood how... Maybe it's a baby boomer thing that now that the baby boomers are like in their 70s now or whatever it is. But
right.
But prior to them, like my grandparents, the golden age, the era, the World War II era.
The greatest generation.
Yeah. Nobody ever thinks about them fucking.
Right.
But now you have the baby boomers who are doing it and you're thinking, why? But then you have to realize, they're the sexual revolution from the 60s. And of course they're spreading STDs because they're the ones that gave us AIDS.
Yes. This is the generation. Thank you very much. And now they're all hooking up.
You're welcome.
In the Villages that encompasses, let me tell you something, three counties in Florida are covered by this Villages. And I'm just like, what the hell is going on in the Villages
now,
in Florida?
Now, Tammy, look, I have to ask you, because what you're saying is really eye-opening for those who may have not heard this before. But when you say people are, knocking boots, if you will.
Right.
I have to ask you, did you actually witness these crimes taking place?
Well, I have, and I can't say how, because I would I would probably expose some family members who may or may not live there.
Okay. I was thinking you were a visual voyeur the whole time, just a voyeur.
Be careful. No, I've just learned by some family members that I cannot out. That there's a code, and there are a lot of secret signals and codes in the villages that that signal certain things to people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So as I've driven around and spent some time with family there, my eyes have just been open to a whole new world.
Yeah, I would imagine it's like walking in on like your parents or something. It's just traumatizing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Thank God that's never happened to me ever in my life.
Oh gosh.
I can't imagine the traumatizing long-lasting effects of that.
Well, I think it's happened to most kids and it's pretty traumatizing.
Yeah, it's never happened to me. Let's get back to the misadventures of the Tammy Clark expeditions.
Right.
So are you kind of like me? Do you find Orlando to be very swampy?
Yes, it is very swampy. And that's why I do not want to live here. And so as I think about, you know, the next few years and the next chapter of my life, post, you know, midterm elections, post freedom fighting and post being an accidental activist. I would love to live down here and do what I've done in the business world and make a lot of money and have a lot of fun doing it. It's certainly not going to be in Orlando.
it's very swampy here
in many ways.
Right. Well, I believe it. There's a lot of accidental fornication going on down there. Oh my God. Yeah. Can't even imagine.
Right.
Can't even imagine.
There's a lot of money here and there's a lot of, business deals to be had, but it's also very swampy in many ways.
It is. There are a lot of mosquitoes. It's weird because when I was a kid, I always dreamed of going to Epcot Center and all that, the World Disney and And then now that I'm older, I want to be as far away from any amusement park as possible. Because I said this to somebody. I said, think about the amount of hours we have spent collectively throughout our lives waiting in line to get on a stupid ride. You know, some of them 3-hour waits, 2-hour waits. My, and just all the time wasted growing up doing that. And, I don't know if you did this because you weren't, you know.
Oh, yeah.
What do they have in Michigan? The Six Flags? I have no idea what
amusement parks. We have some amusement parks in Michigan as well. But here's the thing. Since I have grown in my professional career, my personal and professional life, I don't play the waiting game. I'm not somebody that plays the waiting game. It drives me absolutely crazy. I don't stand in line for breakfast or drinks or roller coasters.
You're a cutter. You're a cutter.
No, I'm not a cutter. I am somebody who will pay money to skip the line. I'm one who buys the fast pass. And I am one who calls in and makes a reservation. And if I can't make a reservation and I've got to stand in line for an hour, well, then I just won't visit your restaurant. That's just me.
But Tammy, we're talking about a time at Disneyland. And, you know, I'm from Orange County, so Disneyland was my backyard.
Yeah.
So there was no such thing as a fast pass when I was going to Disneyland.
That's true. Year. When we were growing up, that's the way it was. Yeah. And we got a sunburn standing in line for an hour.
Right. Yes, on one part of our arm. The other.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. And think of all the stupid games you had to play waiting in line.
That's right.
You know? And you all the conversations.
You had to sit on the rail. You had to pretend you were not sitting on the rail while you were trying to sit on the rail. Mm-hmm. And then you had to crouch down and sit on the ground. And then the line would move. And then you had to pretend that you didn't notice the white trash people in front of you that were making out and gross. And
wow.
Yeah.
What amusement park did you go to?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Any amusement park. It's like people watching galore. And then you just had to sort of, and then you had to stand in front of the mister and try to get, you know, cooled off. And oh my gosh, this was childhood 101 for us.
It is. It was awful.
Yeah.
It was awful. Have you ever been to Disneyland?
I have, just a few years ago, actually. I
for the first time?
For the first time in 2015, I went to Disneyland in California, in Anaheim, yes.
Oh, okay. You missed the best years then.
Well, I grew up going to Disney World in Orlando.
You know, screw your Disney World. You should have went to the original. Yeah. So sick of this Disney World business.
Well, the California traffic sort of did it for my family. We just kind of stayed out of California.
Oh, gosh.
We love the coast, though. I'll tell you what. Oh, my gosh. The coast and the La Jolla, you know, kayaking and the caves and all that fun stuff. Yeah, we love that. But
La Jolla is beautiful, actually.
Yes, it is.
It's absolutely beautiful. I was a special guest for the La Jolla Film Festival.
Really?
Yeah, in 2016, I was promoting a new venture, a new docuseries.
Wow.
And it was so, but it was a different film festival. It was a fashion film festival.
Oh, okay.
Which means that it's very artistic and... Mm-hmm. There's a concentration on the designs of the set and the artistry rather than just a script and what have you. So it was actually really cool. And
yeah, I can imagine. I want to go back. Yeah. La Jolla was beautiful. Mm-hmm. I loved kayaking and swimming among the Garibaldi fish and in the caves and all of that. That's kind of, I would rather do that than stand in line for roller coasters. But now that we can buy the fast passes, I'm all about the adrenaline and the roller coasters and the experiences.
Not me.
Like the hiking.
Not me.
And all
No, thank you. No, thank you.
You mean to tell me you would not go on a roller coaster with me? A death-defying roller coaster?
Well, with the way you were describing it, that we'd have to wait in line with watching white trash people fornicate after watching the village people fornicate. I don't know where you are taking me. Oh, okay. I'm so lost. All these places you're seeing. All these people.
No, that was the way you and I grew up, standing in lines. Now we just cough up the extra money and we go right to the front of the line and there's no standing in line. There's no watching the white trash people fornicate. None of that.
Oh, God. White trash people. Yeah,
now we just go have fun.
I would, as long as the roller coaster doesn't go like upside down and all this crazy business. I mean,
absolutely, it does. It's all about crazy business.
But I get sick, Tammy. I get sick after that stuff.
Even better. Then you must come ride a roller coaster with me. Even better.
So we know that Tammy's now trying to end me and make it look like an accident.
I'll have my phone video rolling.
Yeah, my death. Oh, we're going upside down. Oh, she took my buckle out.
I think that's a great show. That's a great show, Precipice. We need to tease that one. Dean is riding a death-defying roller coaster with Tammy.
I think the RDM cast, I think the ideal would be we all go to Vegas and film our episodes there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Have you heard about the roller coaster on top of the building that hangs out over the building in Vegas?
That's the Stratosphere you're talking about? Yeah. And I've heard about it. I've seen it. I would never go on it. No.
You would. I'll hold your hand.
Okay. Well, I guess if I drop acid, maybe I'll go on it. Which that would be even worse because I dropped acid.
Yes, it would be.
I literally 5 years ago we were filming this docuseries pilot called Drugs A to Z, and I guess you can guess what it's about.
Did you try them all out?
I think I got as far as C, and then I skipped one and went to L, and then I. It's very sporadic letters. But I distinctly remember, and somehow Matthew Short is involved in the story, and he seems to remember it differently.
I can only imagine.
Well, he was blacked out drunk, so he has no memory whatsoever. If you ever hear his story of this, it's completely
bunk. Oh, my gosh.
But there's there's two visits there that I did, and I don't remember which one, so they'll blend into one, but... You ever heard of, there's just no good, easy way of talking about this, but, not barbiturates. What are they called? They took them in the Wolf of Wall Street. I always forget these stupid things.
Uppers. You know, you're talking to me. Like, this is the girl that grew up like the Waltons under the rock, right? You know, you're talking to the wrong person about this.
Yeah, I just realized that.
I cannot help you with the classification of drugs that you may have taken over the years.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know my wine. I can help you with wine. There we go. What do you want to know?
Well, wine is also classified for me as instant headache.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. Okay, Quaaludes. Okay, Quaaludes were a huge thing in the 70s and early 80s. Now, the gentleman who made them, Matthew Short,
got into some Quaaludes, did you?
Well, not exactly. The guy who made it originally went to like prison for like 30 years. Oh. Then he, what are the odds? What are the odds? He gets out of prison as we start making this docuseries, and he finds out it's a project we were tied to the Oliver Stone experience and.
Working with
his son and all that, you know, minutia. But so he gets out of prison. So somehow, some way, he's friend of a friend. He gets wind that we're going to be like filming in Huntington Beach, and he makes a concoction of Quaaludes, which you can't find anywhere because you know the guy's in prison. It's like the DeLorean of drugs. They just don't make them anymore.
Secret family recipe.
Exactly. It's secret family recipe. It's in the old cookbook. And so he makes a concoction of this, but he mixes it with LSD and MDMA, which is like ecstasy for all those people.
Sounds like a death sentence.
Well, so does your roller coaster, but you don't hear me, you know.
Touché.
So anyways, so he makes a batch of it and he gets it to us right before we're filming and we're thinking, oh, this should be interesting. And was it ever?
This should be interesting. That's what was going through your mind? This should be interesting?
Yeah.
I bet it was.
It was stupendous, if there's a word to describe it.
Stupidly and interesting.
Stupendous. And I was, I can't remember everything, but I do remember seeing a bunch of Israelis at some point.
It reminds me of the movie The Hangout. Did you sort of wake up in a trunk of a car with Asian people screaming at you, not knowing what was going on?
Well, it's funny because there's also a movie called The Hangover, so the Hangout might be similar.
The Hangover, yeah. Yes.
That Hangout movie is so, it's about hanging out.
The Hangout movie. The Hangover movie.
The Waltons. The Waltons, right? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I'm talking to the wrong girl about this stuff. I know enough to be dangerous. Yeah, sure.
That, you know. Pinot Grigio is very the hard stuff.
Exactly. It's about right. I've been around a little, but you know, I can't say that I've experienced a whole lot of that kind of crazy.
I just laugh
at people who do. People like you. I just sit there and sip my wine and laugh at you.
Oh, we're laughing back.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're laughing back.
Exactly.
But without getting into it, my whole point was, because that's a whole saga and what I experienced and what happened. And they're also doing Baywatch tryouts because we're on the beach. And
right.
Matt got into doing a Guess Jeans commercial on the sand while frolicking out of the water. It was,
oh my gosh.
The video is incredible. But my whole point is, if you're ever in Vegas, this is like a PSA announcement. If you're ever in Vegas and you decide to do the to drop acid and you make that you accidentally do it, whatever you do, do not go to Margaritaville, the restaurant, Jimmy Buffett's place, while on acid. It is the most frightening thing you'll ever experience.
Well, I can imagine, because I was just in Nashville a couple weeks ago, and I went to Margaritaville, Jimmy Buffett's
on
place,
acid.
And I was not on acid. And it was rather... it was one of those places where it's like sensory overload, OMG. So I can only imagine if you are dropping acid and you go there, OMG. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Did they have the volcano thing inside the restaurant where the girl popped? Yeah. It's just, it's overpriced. Yes. No.
Exactly. It was loud. It was crazy. I was in my, you know, my normal state of mind. I had no, mental status altering drugs, you know, affecting me. And I was still like, do we want to really go here? This is a little crazy.
Didn't you find them overpriced though? I found it like overpriced.
Yeah. Of course.
And how many times can you hear Cheeseburger in Paradise followed by Margaritaville just back to me? It's just.
Exactly.
It's just like, you know, this is the torture they do to people in Gitmo. But no, you're paying for this torture for a cheeseburger.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. And, you know, it was cool for a while, but over and over and over, it's like, okay, we get it, Jimmy Buffett. Come on. Where's my key lime pie? Come on. Enough with the songs. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. Exactly. And Jimmy Buffett, you're not from the fucking islands, okay? You're a billionaire.
Exactly.
You just put flip-flops on when the cameras are on, right? We all know.
Exactly. Like I said, just give me my key lime pie.
Oh, God. I wish you didn't say that, because I love key lime pie.
It's my favorite. It's my
favorite. Oh. It's my favorite.
Okay, so we eat our bagels exactly the same way with 10 pounds of cream cheese on them. And we both love key lime pie. Okay.
Well, that's not entirely that. That was a rumored start by someone, and it's totally not true. Although I do like a healthy portion of
cream
cheese. Wait
a minute. It is true. You like a very healthy amount of cream cheese on your bagel, and I'm the same way. I can't eat a bagel without like, you know, a half a carton of cream cheese on top of it. So, you know, I get it.
Tammy, if you're trying to make me hungry, it's working.
Right, please. Exactly. Or key lime pie. Key lime pie, absolute favorite dessert.
I do love key lime pie. Absolutely love key lime pie.
Yes. Yes.
No doubt.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
Now, and I'm down here in Florida, so I can eat my, you know, my little heart out, to my heart's content of key lime pie.
Key lime pie. What's your second favorite?
What, dessert?
No, pies, because this is a pie podcast where everything pie all the time.
Yes, so my second favorite, hands down, is pecan pie. With, like, warm pecan pie with vanilla ice cream. And I guarantee you our listeners are agreeing with me, because it's so rich. And it's it's the Thanksgiving, Christmas. I only eat it. I allow myself to have one slice at Thanksgiving and one slice at Christmas because it has like 10,000 calories in one slice, but there is nothing like it. Key lime pie is my favorite, like overall, and that pecan pie is my go-to in the holidays that will make me gain 10 pounds every time I eat it.
Really?
Yep.
10 pounds, huh?
Yeah, because it's got like 10,000 calories.
See, I like apple Dutch, you know, Dutch pie.
Yes, with the crumb top, the crumb.
Yeah,
topping.
Crumb. And but see, I don't like pie warm. I like it cold.
Oh, really? That's weird. Yeah.
It's like my sake. I don't like it warm.
Oh, I just had sake the other night.
I had a feeling you did.
So, Japanese place, lychee. Okay, so lychees, when I went to Guatemala, we would literally pick the lychees off the trees and eat them. Mm-hmm. And we went to this place here, and they had lychee sake. Of course, we had to try it. And it was absolutely amazing, delicious. It was like drinking lychee fruit, but with a little alcohol and a little fun feeling afterwards.
Fun feeling.
Yeah, gotta have it. Lychee sake. Yeah.
Tammy knows how to have fun on when she has those fun feelings. She that's what
yes,
I heard.
I do.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard from the village.
Absolutely.
The villagers told me. Yeah.
Oh my God! Not the village. Don't put me there. Don't put me in the villages with fun feelings, because that is not a place I want to be. I'm telling you what, I am a little appalled at the villages. Wow, those people. Woo!
Yeah, just, you know, like they've never, you know, done it before, but...
But the thing is, it's kind of like, you know, you and I, at the stage of life that we're in, we're, you know, building 20s. Our careers, we're working, we're just real...
Still in college.
Yeah.
Still in college.
Focused, right? Still in college, whatever. I'm talking about like certifications, education, whatever it is we're doing.
Okay. I'm talking about like we still go to school. I saw you at the Chow Hall the other day.
Yeah. Well, I'm always working on something, certifications, education, whatever. And, you know, working on our careers and everything. And these people, I swear, my eyes have been open to what happens when you retire. You go off the deep end is what you do. And everything that you raise your children and your families with these wholesome values not to do, you start doing.
Yeah, that's true. It really is.
It's like pretty central.
I agree to that. It's disturbing.
Oh my God, it is a little disturbing.
Well, I live in somewhat of a senior community, so I have a idea of what you're talking about. And it's
what I had no idea you lived in a senior community. What the hell are you doing living in a senior community?
Well, Tammy, I've decided to take an early retirement.
Well,
and I didn't want to tell you about it.
You need to tell me, because the last I knew,
I remember the
Golden Girls episode last July 4th, and you were surrounded by some seniors, but you were having fun.
I was until the one particular blue-haired of the bunch became a total bitch just real fast. And she shut me up by feeding me her ham rolls, so I started eating those.
but if I remember right, you ate them.
I was hungry. And I was drunk, too, and I was really pissed off that day, if you recall. I was really pissed off that day.
I know you were. And you ate them, and you ate their food, their COVID-infected food.
Yeah. You remember Lisa food-shaming me right after?
Yes!
So terrible. Yes. Such poor taste.
That was actually epic. So, you know, you and the Golden Girls hanging out can't say much about me down here, but the villages.
Okay, you and the grumpy old man, I guess we'll say that.
Exactly.
There you have it. There you have it.
Goodness.
No. Did you go to university? What was your college experience like?
Absolutely.
I just realized I know nothing about Tammy. And full disclosure, until like somewhat recently, within a six... This is how bad it is. Within a 6 month ratio, I believe, maybe more than that, margin of error, I didn't know that Tammy was a PPE. I thought she was just Kristen's co-host or some kind of liaison. It just shows you, Tammy, how detail oriented you have to be to understand what people do and how much I need an assistant so bad.
Well, yeah, because for 6 months you had no idea who I was or what I did.
I thought you were in a realtor or you sold timeshares and you hung out with Kristen and you were that's it.
Oh my gosh, it makes me laugh so hard, because that's what the liberal left haters say about me. You're just a realtor.
Well, I don't know. I barely know what Kristen, you know, I see Kristen do all these things and stuff, and I don't even know who that is. I don't know that version of her. It's so weird.
I know. No, I know. Weird. Well,
I try not to look. I don't want to look.
I know. I get it. And I get it, because it's such a very unique and very specific career field that most people have no idea about. And in
I knew the career field. I just didn't know you were doing it too. I thought you
Yeah, that's how we met. That's how Kristen and I met.
I don't know. I just know you from the pictures. And you came to my house once in Texas.
Yeah, I just know you because you know Kristen, and we came to Texas together to speak at the Constitutional Rights Summit about all of this, and that's where I met you. And but yeah, I get it. I understand why you wouldn't necessarily know, but yeah, my background is the same as Kristen's.
Oh, you're so sincere. You totally get it. And you forgive
I do.
Me never.
I do actually because no, people have no. know our career Whatever. Fields are so unique and they're very behind the Whatever. Scenes and most people have no idea what we do and they've never heard of us. What's an industrial hygienist? What's an occupational or environmental health and safety professional? Just, like most people have never heard of us.
I know. I'm just so busy and I already know.
I get it.
I just, and I already know you're plotting revenge. So I'm trying to apologize as fast as I can. I just
well,
know what's
what
going to happen next.
Say. Sweet revenge. Sweet success is the best revenge. So that's okay. I'm just going to continue doing my thing. I'm not plotting revenge. I think
really?
Success is the best revenge. I would never plot revenge on you. Are you kidding me? You didn't do anything wrong.
I think you would. I don't know.
No.
I think just you
I'm
would.
Not. I'm not that way. I'm not.
If Lisa convinced you, I think you might.
No, I wouldn't. I actually wouldn't. I'm not a vengeful person.
Lisa is in a very big competition with me right now. We have a this weird thing going on right now. I can't even. It's so stupid, but it's very serious. It's like, you know,
that's funny.
To the death.
That's funny.
Well, it goes back to the Halloween TV special, which was,
what?
By the way, voted for best TV special of the year for the RDM Awards.
I know, and I was in that one, so I'm curious
you
as
were.
To what this little competition you guys have going on.
Lisa held over my head for 2 to 3 weeks the fact that she knew what everybody's Halloween costumes were, especially Kristen's,
Yes.
She wouldn't tell me. She would brag. She would flaunt. She would tease, but she wouldn't tell me.
Oh, yes.
So therefore, now that I have a secret with Kristen on a certain song we're working on and Lisa's not in the know, Lisa wants to know really bad. She's going around asking everybody and she can't stand it. Cause she thought that she's the only one that can have secrets with Kristen.
That's
but
hilarious.
No, me and Jazz Pop have the secrets and she's not included. And now she's doing everything she can within her power to get to the bottom of what our special secret is. You
oh
see,
my gosh.
It's secret envy.
Absolutely hilarious.
I'll tell you what, though. Very competitive woman.
Here's what I think. Competition, healthy competition, is a good thing. It pushes us all to be better, to be more excellent, and to stay on our game.
To be more secretive.
Yes. To be more secretive, to be more excellent, to stay on our game. And it's because, you know what? It's a fun, healthy competition. And it challenges us. It literally does challenge us all to be better.
Yeah, I'm not sure how healthy it is, but it could be. It very well could be.
Well, knowing the cast the way I do, it's healthy. It could be a little scary because some people are very vindictive, but it's a good thing.
Yeah, Lisa or me? Who are you referring to?
Both of you. But you'll survive and you'll be better for it.
The funny thing is, I know she's holding more secrets from me.
What?
I know. Her and Kristen have this weird understanding that even about the dumbest things, too. It could be like, oh, let's talk about this movie that we both watched at the same time. Let's not tell her. You know,
sorry.
It's like, oh, what, do you have a hairball? What is that?
Yeah, sorry, sorry.
The hell was that? My God. Licking yourself.
Okay. No, sorry, hacking up a hairball down here in Florida.
Yeah, we heard. We noticed. It's like a coffer's hack. That was a hack.
Oh, my gosh. I thought my allergies always cough, were bad in Michigan, but
you always cough that way. You always cough that way. You always cough that. You have, it's a very violent cough. Do you always cough that way?
I know. No, I've just had these horrible allergies, and you know what the stupidest thing is, like you cannot cough. You cannot have allergies anymore. You cannot blow your nose. You cannot sneeze. You cannot cough because it's all COVID and I'm going to kill you. Now everybody looks at, you know, it's everybody looks at me like, oh, dear God, she's coughing or she's sneezing. Well, I'm like, it's just allergies, people. Chill out.
In my defense, I've always looked at people that sneezed around me that way for my entire life. with that appalled look.
Of, they were going to kill you.
No, it's just the, I can't believe you just sneezed near me.
Yeah.
I've always had that look. And, you know.
Well, nowadays, so I'm if the OG. You sneeze or cough, you're going to kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, based on that hack that we just heard there, it sounded like somebody was killed in your presence. That was a very violent hack. It sounded like you had a. Like took a swung at somebody. I don't know what that was. So I think you're right. You killed somebody.
Oh, Lord. You know, Lord help us.
Killed somebody. So anyways, we're talking about, by the way, if you're just joining us, which that's impossible if it's in the podcast world. But some mystery reason you are listening to Late Night Thoughts here on the Real Deal Media Channel. I'm Tammy Clark, and I'm joined by Dean Ryan tonight. And we're switching roles in some weird science experiment. No, but we're talking about your university. You went to tell me about your college years. Let's go back in time to the wet behind the ears, the young Tammy as we remember her.
The
young vagabond.
Oh, you are getting an earful that nobody else has. I don't think I have really shared this with anybody else. So you guys are getting an earful. So I went to Northwestern Michigan University. And that is in Traverse City, Michigan, or NMC, Northwestern Michigan College. And I got my aviation management degree there. And I was a very young Tammy. Ambitious, you know, right out of high school.
Perky.
Perky and having, I just wanted to have fun. Everybody.
Vivacious.
Totally. Totally.
Naive.
Absolutely. Absolutely naive about everything. And I just wanted to become a pilot. And so, boy, did I get introduced to the world because I lived in the dorms and met a whole bunch of people.
Okay, let's stop right there. Let's before we continue, we have to dissect.
Because I know what you're thinking right now.
No, I don't think you do. I don't think you do.
When I said lived in the dorms and you stopped, I know what you're thinking.
Well, tell me, before we go on, Miss Cleo, why don't you read use your clairvoyant mind to tell me what I'm thinking. Because I was actually going to say, weren't you a gymnast?
Oh, yes, I was.
See, Tammy, see what happens? Cart before the thing there. So to talk about that, did you get a scholarship into university as a gymnast?
I did.
That's important to the story, don't you think?
Yes. Yeah, so I was a nationally ranked gymnast, and I actually was competing in the Junior Olympics, but I wrecked my knee, damaged my knee, and had to have surgery, which set me back a couple of years. I rebounded, and I ended up training with Bela Karoli, Mary Lou Retton's coach, Nadia Comaneci, and Mary Lou Retton's coach, Bela Karoli, and Marta Karoli in Houston, Texas, and I trained with them, and for a while, I went to their camps and I went to their training center and I did very, very well. I was a nationally ranked gymnast and had Olympic hopes, you know, and all of that. But I had a severe knee injury at the Junior Olympics in Salt Lake City. And then
did somebody get a crowbar and hit your knees before you?
No,
I think I remember this, Tammy. I think I remember this.
No, that would be the world of ice skating that you're thinking.
Oh, You know what?
Yes. Nancy Kerrigan, Tanya Harding moment.
Okay. Because I remember she had blonde hair. That might have been you. I thought.
No.
Change your name, maybe.
I did a dismount off of the bars, and I landed short. My feet planted on the ground, but my body kept turning, so my knee was completely just wrenched.
So you were standing on top of the bar, and everyone's drinking, and you were just dancing, and then you fell off.
Okay, well, let's just fast forward into today's world, and yes, that is today's interpretation of what happened back then. Yes, absolutely.
And by the way, I would love to do a reenactment of it, and we'll have Kristen as Nancy Kerrigan.
We absolutely should. Yes.
Yes, and we'll have you can be the Tanya.
Yeah, no, I'm the Nancy. She can be the Tanya. I'm the one who got hurt.
Well, I know, but Tanya has blonde hair, so by default,
right. Okay, that's
she true. Had blonde hair, and she had a perm too. So
we'll just have fun with it. Yeah, we'll just smash the shit out of each other. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that sounds dirty too. Good.
So.
God.
Yeah, fast forward, I was not able to take my scholarship. I got a couple of different scholarship offers from a couple of different state universities, but I had severe injuries that prevented me from being able to move forward with that. So I was not able to pursue gymnastics at the university level, which was, I think I fought depression for the first time in my life because I didn't know who I was or what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. And my whole identity kind of fell apart at that point. And then I discovered flying, and somebody challenged me, well, why don't you get your pilot's license? And so I thought, why don't I? Yeah, that's absolutely kind of, I'm adrenaline junkie, so why not? Mm. So I started flying, and I went to Northwestern Michigan, and started flying up there. I absolutely loved it. Fell in love with the region, the beautiful turquoise waters, and flying and all of that. So I went to school, right. Got my degree in that. Then I got married shortly afterwards, mm-hmm. and started a family, started a business. And then I went back to school to get my business degree. And then I got involved in the world of safety, health, and compliance because we owned our own business. Okay. Right. And so out of the need to manage and control the compliance world, I actually became a compliance professional from there. So,
right.
Long story short, right. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of skipping around there. I don't know where to.
There's not really, because I got married very young. I graduated from Northwestern and then got married, started a business, kind of all in the same year.
Did you did you marry a fellow gymnast like many other gymnasts do?
No, I married a champion wrestler.
Oh,
yeah,
champion
Rambo.
Wrestler.
You know him as Rambo.
I know a few Rambos around here.
But
interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. So,
and then we started a business, and we started a family, right? All at the same time.
Uh-huh. That's a lot of it's a lot of projects there.
Yes, trust me. The starting a family thing happened very much by surprise, way ahead of
really?
Schedule. But that happens sometimes.
And yeah, I wonder how that happens.
Yeah, it does happen sometimes. So we were managing a business, and then, we're managing a family now. And that's how I got into the world of compliance and health, safety, OSHA, all of that, because somebody had to manage it. And then fast forward 20 years, and I'm a compliance specialist, and I'm teaching at the university level. So that's kind of how I got where I am today.
By the way, as you're telling me this, I'm literally scrolling through food, a menu, trying to find pies. And I really blame you for this. I this is not what I want to be doing. You're like, I busted my knee. I was in a coma. I'm like, oh, wow. That's interesting.
You need some Thai food.
Should I get this one?
Thai food.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm everything's clear. Well, first of all, I'm pissed because I they had pie at 7-Eleven and the little short pies.
And oh, I had yeah.
A, yes.
Oh, my gosh. No.
Because of you. So no. I was so excited to get it. And I, you know, you fill your cart and then it says this store is now closed. I'm like, fuck.
Wow.
Just spent 30 minutes of my life trying to find the right items for me.
Oh my gosh. No, you need. Okay, here's what you need. You need. Yeah,
tell me what I need.
You need Mrs. You need to go to the frozen section and you need to get the Razzleberry pie. It's called Razzleberry. It's my favorite. And you, okay. you need to okay. go to the frozen section and then you thaw that out. Mrs. I forget what the name of it is. Darn it. Calendars? Mrs. Calendars, maybe? Razzleberry.
Marie Calendars, but yes, we'll go with that.
I thought it was okay. All right. That's close. Close enough. Type in Razzleberry pie and then warm that up and put some ice cream or whipped cream on it.
Okay. More sexual innuendos here at the Late Night Thoughts with the welcome to Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew.
Just going to give you some food for thought, some comfort to leave you with.
Well, you're giving a lot of people a lot of comfort and thoughts.
Hey, I'm telling you that Razzleberry pie, I think it's Marie Callender's or Mrs. Whatever. I forget the name of it.
It's yeah.
My absolute favorite.
Mrs. Whatever.
Yeah, Mrs. Type in Mrs. Something. Razzleberry pie. Yeah,
what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just so disappointing when you have it all figured out and it just.
I know. You have your mind set on something and then it doesn't work out.
Exactly.
It's not acceptable. And you want to lose your shit. I know.
Every time.
Yep, I get it. Like this is exactly why I don't play the waiting game. And I don't wait in line for anything.
Tammy, I'm going to diagnose you now. Are you ready? I've
been yeah, go
waiting
for
to
it.
Do this for a long time.
Go for it.
Well, as you know, I'm also the great Karnak.
I know.
And world renowned at that.
I've heard. I'm a little nervous because I'm intimidated.
Can I just say too, like, you know, the bad thing about getting Mexican food delivered is it's soggy by the time it gets here. It's just such a waste.
Yes,
why did they even have it on the menu? Pisses me off every time.
You cannot have Mexican food delivered.
No.
Crazy.
I know, but I want Mexican food, but by the time it gets here, the burrito is like soup. It's just...
Exactly.
Especially
with our standards, with our standard of living today that's gone down the crapper. And
you know,
we have no quality of life. We have no standard of living. Everything's become subpar. You'll get your food in an hour and a half.
It's worse in Europe. You think this is bad?
I can only imagine.
Yeah, I try not to.
No, exactly.
I don't know what I'm
going to
do.
Well, order your tacos with the meat and the cheese and everything outside of the taco.
Yeah. But they just bypass that. They don't pay attention to the little instructions. You know
That's
how many times
true.
I've said,
true.
Do not ring my doorbell. Do not ring my doorbell. No. These Neanderthals get here. They go, boom, 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 ring the doorbell. Like, what the fuck?
You know, we shouldn't be laughing about this because the quality and the standard of living in America has so gone down the hill. I was just talking to my brother about this today. Like, what have we become? Like a third world country? This is ridiculous. The standard of living, service, everything is like we used to go to Central America when we were kids, and we used to laugh because we'd sit there for 30 minutes before anybody would wait on us. And then it was very subpar service. But here in America, that's what it's become now.
Well, here's the difference, though, because it's been we're a very much hurry up and wait society.
Mm-hmm.
And what's it called? The service sector.
Yeah.
They work on tips, too. In addition to where, you know, you go to London, you get a beer that's $10.
Right.
They don't get tips. They don't get tips.
Oh,
they don't ask. They don't expect tips. No, that's just the way it is. You go to Vegas, somebody opens the door for you. No, they expect a tip. And you're like, oh, no.
Well, yes, exactly. But still, everything has just taken such a, I don't know, such a nosedive.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no service anymore.
No, because the people have gone downhill.
Yep.
I'd say so.
That's right.
And it's been like, it's a long time. But, you know, some of us, though, have not gone downhill, Tammy. We've just remained idle. So, therefore, now we're the kings of the hill.
What
does that tell you?
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Which is not necessarily a good thing. When I'm the curve, you know, it's not necessarily a plus.
I hear you. And you're not kidding about that either, because now we're a little bit mean and cocky. And yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I'm the cock of the walk.
Right.
Cock of the walk.
Okay, so you're going to order food and you're going to diagnose me. All right, I'm waiting.
Because for Sunday brunch, I just realized I have no maple syrup for my waffles Sunday. So it's so... so important I do this.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So you have to order that right now while we're on?
Yes.
You know, okay.
And I have to use the bathroom too. I have a lot of problems here, Tammy.
Okay. Well, I'll let you go then.
No, you're not letting me go.
Order your maple syrup, use the bathroom, and diagnose me. This is going to be good.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick intermission. I mean, if that's okay with you, Tammy, yes. I don't wait in lines and I bribe attendants.
I don't wait in lines. I don't play the waiting game. My family knows that. Mom, don't play the waiting game.
And I'm going to diagnose you why that is.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. You want to take your 5 minutes?
Okay. Yeah, we're going to take a quick break and I'll be right back.
All right.
I drink a whole 32 gallon of an Arnold Palmer with God, what, how old that ice was.
Well, that's good. I'll go get another glass of wine while you're taking a potty break.
Like, you know, the ice is bad when it starts tasting like garlic.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So gross. Go get a refresh.
I had a garlic flavored iced tea. That's what I had.
Gross.
All right, we'll be right back.
All right.
God, it's cold.
Are we back?
Yes, I think so. No, I'm just waiting for you. Gosh, I discovered a real gem.
10 minutes.
Oh, did
you? Hang on just a minute. 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Hey, this is my brother.
Hey. Hey, man, I met you when you were in Michigan.
My brother Clint met you in Michigan.
Oh.
I don't know if you remember him. Yeah. Hang on.
The gala.
Camera. This is Clint.
Oh, yes.
You remember Clint?
Hi, Clint.
Hey, man.
Yes. Nice to see you again.
You too.
Yeah. Tammy's telling me about growing up as one of the Waltons. And then...
That was our life.
That was our life, totally.
Yeah.
We were the Waltons. Right? It's totally true. So, Clint and I, look. Don't we look alike? Let me take the glasses off.
Oh, you should show them our picture.
I know. Look how much alike we look.
Do one of the Snapchat. You put somebody's
clothes. Yeah.
So what was it like growing up with Tammy? Was she bossy? Did she pick on you? Did she? Was she great?
Well, want to hear this?
Oh, you better. Yeah, you better be.
This is my moment.
I'm all ears. I'm all ears.
You're recording. All ears. I know you're recording. Yes. Let's do this.
It's my moment too. I love it.
He loves it. He's like, give it to me.
I'll put it this way. I've never had an issue, being chauvinistic, because I'm women kick your butt, they will destroy you. I'm the youngest, she's the oldest, so I've always had to try to keep, I've never had an issue thinking, isn't that right, that whole Dutch, that whole Dutch mentality.
Patriarchal.
Never had to suffer the masculine.
Clint was never part of that, Dutch patriarchal movement, because I'm his big sister. and he's the baby of the family. And there are, let me tell you, there are five of us. I'm the oldest. He's the youngest. And there's and there's only 5.5 years in between us. And we were very close. I took care of him.
Oh, did you change his diapers and all that?
Yes, I did.
Wow. Clint, do you remember that? Do you remember your older sister changing you?
I only remember one incident. She saved my life, but...
oh, my God.
It was a zipper incident.
Oh.
That's, now, what happened? Because we know Tammy's always in a rush, as she explained on the show earlier.
She's wearing a onesie.
Is that what happened?
Yes. Oh my God.
Like to wait. She doesn't like to wait for anything she said. So I can imagine the horror.
It was scary.
No.
Remember?
I slowed it down.
It wasn't
and saved
as bad as
life.
Something about Mary. It wasn't that bad.
I saved his life.
Well, it certainly wasn't good either. I mean, I can't imagine there's any good.
He was just a little toddler at the time, and I saved his life. So, you know.
And
I was not in rush mode at that time in my life.
Has she apologized for that incident yet?
Oh, no,
or are you still waiting?
It wasn't her. It was she saved me.
I saved him. It wasn't my fault.
Jumping around.
He was being a crazy little toddler, and I saved his life. I saved him. I saved his. Let me just say, I saved his life and limb.
Life and limb. Tammy has a way with words,
going on
doesn't
the show.
She?
This gets edited. Yeah.
This does get edited out of the show.
Oh, we'll make sure that happens. Yes, yeah. Of course.
Oh my gosh! Here's your phone.
All right. Nice talking to you, Dean.
I'm gonna head back.
Yes. Anyways. Welcome back. Welcome back, Tammy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here at Late Night Thoughts, and we're so glad you had the courage to come on here when many people don't. Because...
No, that's just funny.
I don't know why. It's harmless.
It is.
But we last left off... We were talking about university college experience and you know how it really molds people and make them and what they are today, and certainly has changed the course of history for some. Do you think now, looking back, had you not busted your knee in that bar scene that you were describing earlier,
dancing on the bar?
Yeah, had you not been dancing on the bar, do you think that your trajectory would have been different? Do you think you would have been in the Olympics, perhaps?
Yes. So my college experience had nothing to do with my athletic experience.
Mm-hmm.
My athletic experience was very separate because I was at a private club. I was training with Olympic trainers like Bela Karoli and Marta Karoli and you know, many of the trainers that many of the athletes that trained with these coaches, I was part of that group and part of that elite. I was an elite gymnast. And so I ran in those circles and trained with those clubs. Mm-hmm. And that had nothing to do with my college or my collegiate experience. My collegiate experience came after that when I had the injuries and, you know, I kind of had to try to figure out, okay, I couldn't go to Penn State. I couldn't go to UCLA. I lost my scholarships because of my knee injury. So what was I going to do? And that's where I sort of had to reinvent myself. And, sorry, hang on. I'm going to have to edit that out.
Yeah, we're keeping that in.
But that's where I had to.
More hairballs.
More hairballs. Hang on. No, seriously, I am. Okay, yes. So let me pick up where I left off. So,
please do.
My athletic experience had nothing to do with my collegiate experience. But because of the injuries that I experienced, I lost my collegiate and scholarship opportunities. So, the opportunities through scholarship at Penn State and UCLA and some of the others. It was devastating because I had to, for the first time in my life, as a very young person, reinvent myself. Okay, I'm not an elite gymnast anymore. I'm not a world-class, nationally ranked, globally competitive gymnast anymore. So who am I? And that's a very difficult thing to do at 17 years of age. And I cried and I was depressed for about 3 months. And then, you know, I kind of got my my mojo back, and somebody introduced to me the world of flying. And I thought, okay, I'm not going to be able to compete as a gymnast through college. I have these severe injuries that have sidelined me and taken me out of the game. But I'm a smart person. I'm a capable person. I'm still a very athletic, you know, physically fit person. What am I going to do? And it was devastating to me. You know, life throws you curveballs, and sometimes you don't see them coming, and you have to be able to roll with the changes. And so I learned as a young person how to do that. I reinvented myself. I became a pilot at the age of 17, a licensed pilot, and I began pursuing a world in aviation, a career in aviation.
Is it because you saw Top Gun and you got inspired?
Yeah. No, I'll be very honest with you. You know why that happened? Because my mother told me, I actually thought about becoming a flight attendant. And my mother actually told me, because my mom had always wanted to be a flight attendant and she never did it. But she talked about it a lot. You know, she had five children and she was a stay-at-home mom. And she always talked about how she had wanted to be a flight attendant, never pursued that dream. And I thought, well, that would be fun because you could fly all over the world and see the world. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll become a flight attendant. I'm, you know, I'm 17 and I'm trying to reinvent myself and think, you know, what do I want to do? And so then I thought about it and my mom said, you know, that would be a fun thing. And we were talking one night in my room and then I looked at her and I said, well, Mom, if I'm going to be a flight attendant and I'm going to be like a waitress in the sky, why wouldn't I be the one flying the plane and making the most money? And she looked at me and she was like, you're absolutely right. So that's when I decided, I thought, well, I'm going to become a pilot. I want to fly around the world and I want to experience things and travel. And I love to travel. And I'd always loved to travel as a kid. And my parents were fortunate enough to be able to take us kids on a lot of different travels and vacations and adventures around. And so I just decided that, you know, if I want to travel, I'm not going to be the waitress in the sky. I'm going to be the one flying the plane and making the most money. And I, from that moment on, I pursued a world of aviation.
Yeah, a lot of people probably wouldn't know that, but we're learning a lot about the Tamagotchi here tonight. But we'll have to do a part two and specifically focus on the college years next time. Because I think there's such formative years. Like, I have so many college stories. For someone like myself who didn't really go to college per se, although I did, but didn't go like the big universities. Mm-hmm. I sure as hell partied at a lot of universities.
Yeah, you know? Right? Did well, I kind of did the same. And I did 2 years at Northwestern Michigan, and I got my pilot's license and my pilot's ratings. And I also got my degree, my 2-year degree. And then I got married, started a family, started a business. Yeah. And then I went back to school several years later to pursue my business degrees, my construction health safety management degrees. And so I have several different degrees. I have really obtained my degrees over the course of my adulthood.
Yeah, it's a lot of merit there. Compared to my high school degree, I have no business even standing on stage with you. That's crazy.
Well, that's not true, because I will tell you what I've learned through all my degrees, all my education.
What did you learn?
All my
you're going to say what you're going to say what you learned from me.
One thing I have learned that's more important than anything, and yes. from meeting people like you, honestly, is, and I've learned this from my own life, is that experience matters. Experience trumps classroom every single time. And that's why even industry agencies and federal agencies like OSHA, EPA, DOT, they will substitute years of experience for a college degree. Because actually the years in the field teach you way more than what a bunch of classes can teach you. You know, and I've learned that, like, I will listen to somebody who has 20 years of industry experience over somebody who has a degree any day.
Well, you know, just to pretty much highlight what you just said, and in closing, like, this industry per se, I remember going to college, and there were always classes, like, there's the radio class, there's a radio broadcasting class, and all this. So I took, obviously, I took journalism 101, mm-hmm. and then I, or 100, and then I took broadcast journalism, you know, everything you see on the news. And then I, mm-hmm. I took a radio course, and I learned a few things in the journalism and the broadcasting side, the technical stuff, how it really operates and all that. But the radio, I learned nothing in that class. And I think I dropped out after the third class. I said, this is stupid. Nothing I need here. Nothing. And it just, you learn it, or you either have it or you don't, but you certainly work your way up in mastering your skill, whatever it is. And
yeah,
I've been doing this just for so long, Tammy. You can imagine, like, 10 years I've been doing this.
Well, you could teach that class now. That's my point. You may not have mm-hmm. the degree, but you could mm-hmm. actually teach that class from real world experience. And that's what I've learned more than anything, that we've got to get back to mm-hmm. experience, boots on the ground experience. Mm.
And all hands on deck.
Yes.
Oh, put your right foot in, left foot yep. out.
Yep.
And yep. No, you're absolutely right. And I teach Aaron all the time, our Canadian person, the new guy.
Right.
And although it's frustrating, I mean, I was a teacher one time, believe it or not. And it's frustrating sometimes.
Yeah. No, I understand.
You know?
Yeah, I do. I do, because I've taught at the university level, and I know. I also know what a bunch of bullshit the university academia world is. It's total bullshit.
It is. It is. But, you know, it's just, I've taught kids. I was a coach for children, for a basketball coach for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
You know, my former life, yeah. Because
right.
Well, I mean, I liked basketball, but I liked bossing people around. I thought it was fun.
That's way more these fun little than kids. Anything.
Yeah. Telling someone to go run a lap after some mischievous, right? ways of theirs is great.
I hear ya. I grew up bossing around four younger brothers. You just met one of them.
I did. I could tell he was a hostage. He was holding back a lot right? of information. A lot of information. So on his best behavior. I didn't buy any of that. Yeah. Anyways, Tammy, we could do this all night and for days upon days, but thanks for coming on this Late Night Thoughts and the Real Deal Media podcast channel for us, and, you know, to all of our truck drivers out there listening. But last late night thought you want to share with the world, Tammy?
Yeah. Please keep paying attention to what is happening on the global stage, on the world stage. Pay attention to what is happening, the truck drivers, the support, and know that what they're doing, they're sacrificing of their time, their energy, their finances for all of us, and that may cause more disruption in the supply chain. And so we need to be very patient with that. Because overall, what they're doing is to stop tyranny and to free the world, to free their countries, to free all of us. And so just be patient and stand with them in support and understand the ripple effect that everything they do affects us in both a positive and negative way. But we need to be 100% supportive, and we can't get impatient or grumble with the negative side effects and the fallout, because ultimately this, if you look at it from a big picture, 10,000 foot view, this is a very, very good thing that will ultimately have a positive outcome for all of us. So the short-term side effects or the short-term inconveniences are nothing compared to the big picture positive outcomes that this will have.
Okay, very good. And wow, how am I supposed to follow that one? That's a hard late night thought. That's a good one, but very true, more now than ever. And you'll see more Tammy on this, the new season here at Real Deal Media. And she's got a, if we didn't even get to talk about it, she's got a new show that's in development. It's called Wine Time with Tammy. And
oh, yeah.
That you
can't wait to wine with you all. Wine and yes. Wine with you all.
It's just a small wine preview that you just heard. But so you'll be seeing more of her and hopefully more. More podcast for our podcast channel. Maybe she'll be on some other things on here with some of the other castmates. So anyways, Tammy, thank you so much for coming on this Late Night Thoughts. And we hope you enjoy Florida. And
yes,
be careful and be careful next time when you're dressing your brother and be very careful.
Well, thank you. It was a lot of fun to chat with you tonight, and I will do my best to enjoy my last few days down here in the land of freedom and soak up some sunshine before heading back to the land of tyranny in Michigan. But, you know, it's all good. We are winning in every way, and I look forward to chatting with your audience and chatting with you more in the days to come.
Absolutely. All right, Tammy, thank you very much. And that will conclude our episode here of Late Night Thoughts here at the Real Deal Media Channel. I'm Dean Ryan saying good night.